Would you take out this bulletin insert, please? This is the DJV version. That's the Dan Johnson version. This is a combination of the Message, the New International Version, the New Revised Standard Version, and some of my own work with Hebrew. At any rate, we're going to look at this a little more today, several of these verses. But you see down towards 24, 25, the bold. I'd like you to read responsively. I'll read 24, you read the next, and so on. Those who give freely gain even more. Those who withhold what is due lose more and more. Those who are generous prosper. Those. People curse those who hoard, but bless those who give generously. A life devoted to riches is like a dead tree stump, but a God-shaped life is like a flourishing tree. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's Word. I'm really excited about this time together with Proverbs, and so are you, it sounds like, from your responses to me. Proverbs is such a practical thing. I want to give you two sort of caveats or qualifiers. One comes from the introduction of the guy who wrote the message, Peterson. Here's what he says. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual conditions we find ourselves. Now, that's important. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual conditions we find ourselves. The book of Proverbs doesn't deal with how we got into our conditions or why we got into these conditions. It's the art of dealing skillfully in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. The persons who went to Nicaragua, I have a suspicion, found a lot of people living very wisely, skillfully, in some very trying circumstances. And you know people, on the other hand, who live in the best of all possible circumstances and are miserable because they haven't learned to live with wisdom in those circumstances. The second thing I would say is that Proverbs is based on the principle that is right 99% of the time. And that principle is that actions have consequences. We reap what we sow. What we do has an outcome. I mean, that's a basic principle of life. And you'll see that all through Proverbs. I say, though, 99% of the time, because 1% of the time, the book of Job is written to address. And that is that bad things do happen to good people. Lots of people live just as Proverbs say, they do the right things, but accidents happen. Bad things happen to good people. And so you have rightly in Scripture the book of Proverbs, which is the basis for 99% of your existence on earth. There's the 1% when bad things happen to good people. So, with that in mind, I want to just go down through several of these Proverbs. I'm not sure how to preach on the book of Proverbs because there's so many good ones if I just focus on one thing. But look at verse number 2, would you? When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. The other night, one of you invited Jan and me to go with you to the Garrison Keillor at the Performing Arts Center. It was a marvelous evening, an hour and a half of his just telling stories. He was at top form. And he talked about those hard winters in Minnesota, and they conspire to make people who live in Lake Wobegon very humble, very demure, very stepping back. We're very sort of cautious. We're humble people. He said, we're so humble that if we were to receive a gold medal, we would have it bronzed. He said... I was at Asbury, as Kirk and Michelle mentioned. They were there a year ago with some other. But I was there recently for Asbury Seminary board meeting. And we had chapel, a large group in chapel, and I was going to make a presentation. I was feeling pretty good about being chair of the board of Asbury. We received $50 million in the last 2 years, special gift, built a lot of student housing. Not that I had anything to do with it, but, you know, I was chair of the board and all that. And I saw Thad Harvey there, who grew up in this church, and that was wonderful. And I sat down next to a young man who I didn't know, and he didn't know me. And I said, where are you from? He said, I live in Titusville. I said, oh, Titusville. My family and I spent our 8 years, wonderful years there. Where do you go to church? He said, I'm a youth minister at the Indian River City United Methodist Church. I said, oh, that's the church we serve. We had a great time there. I didn't tell him, but, you know, we were recognized as one of the fastest growing Methodist church in Florida that 1 year, and lots of building, lots of great things. And I just knew in my heart that he was about to say, yeah, they still talk about you. I mean, they're still saying wonderful, amazing things about you. And you're chair of the board, too. Wow. But he said, what did you do there? He really did. I'm trying to get the lesson of wisdom and the humility here. One other incident happened, and you can identify with it, some of you. We're gathered around our grandchildren here, and I've got permission from my grandson, Garrett. Hi, Garrett, to say this. But we were sharing, and I'm thinking, I'm a pretty good grandpa. I mean, we're doing really well here, Jan and I, you know. And at a moment of sort of nice closeness, Garrett says, Grandpa, when you die, can I have your iPhone? Sure, Garrett. Well, hey, the youth minister only been there 1 month. I just want you to know that. With humility comes wisdom. And I'm trying to think, you know, one could slip over to thinking we had quite a bit to do with stuff and it's really God's thing. Maybe that's wisdom. Indeed, our success can be our greatest enemy in that it keeps us from learning new lessons sometimes. It keeps us from pushing to try new things. So it's very true. With humility comes wisdom. Would you drop on down to verse 9? With his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous are delivered. You know, Garrison Keillor didn't talk about this proverb, but he did tell this wonderful another episode of life in his Lake Wobegon church. He said, you know, you're there in the choir, and you look down there in the alto section is Susie Kazenbach, who was on the zoning board, who did something that I really adamantly disagreed with her about, and I could almost dislike her strongly, but there she is in the alto section. And over in the tenor section is Joseph, somebody with a Norwegian name, and he was on the school board, and he did something I really didn't like, and he shouldn't have done it, but he's there in the tenor section. He went all around, and his point was, when you live close to people in small towns and in small churches, you got to learn to get along. We call that civility. You can't just blast away at people you know and who are around you. I thought it was really effective. With his mouth, this godless destroys his neighbor. James talked about the importance of the tongue being civil. Are you civil? Do you say things about your neighbor that make them feel better or make them feel worse? Or verse 11, would you look at that? When right-living people bless the city, whatever the city is, a person or a church or a community or a country, when right-living people bless the city, it flourishes. James says, when righteous people pray, good things happen. You and I, our words, our actions can have a salvific blessing effect. By the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Verse 12, a person who lacks good sense derides his neighbor, but a person of understanding remains silent. How many of you grew up with your grandparent or somebody saying, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all? Oh, good. How many of you live that by it? Right here in the Proverbs. Probably don't need to say much more about it, except a person of understanding remains silent. Remain silent. Verse 14, would you look at that? For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors, in many advisors, there's safety. I learned that the hard way. I read too many books on leadership that made me think, well, if you're really a leader, you are going to set the pace, say all the right things, all that silliness. And then I learned from some of you that all of us is better than any one of us, and it's us together. And that's true in families, that's true in communities, that's true in business, that's true in lots of areas. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors bring safety. And then Dave Ramsey's big one, verse 15, whoever puts up security for another will suffer, surely suffer. He says never co-sign with a family member or anybody else. You have to figure that one out if you want to do that or not. But then let's go to the bold parts, the bold part. Those who give freely gain even more. Those who withhold what is due lose more and more. One of you sent me several years ago, I put it in my file, a story of a glass of milk. One day this poor boy was selling something door to door to help him get through school, and he'd run out of money on one thin dime left. It was lunchtime. He didn't have enough money to buy any food. And so he said, I'm going to go to the next door and I'm going to ask if they'll give me a meal. But when this young, attractive woman came, he lost his nerve and said, could I have a glass of water? And she brought him a glass of milk instead. And it was just what he needed. And he said, how much do I owe you? You don't owe me anything. My parents have taught me not to ask money for a kindness. And he said, well, I thank you from my heart. His name was Howard Kelly, and he left that house. He felt renewed. He felt stronger. And years later, he was Dr. Howard Kelly. And a person came in to the clinic where he was in this large city. It was a woman who had been in a smaller city, but they couldn't take care of her there and brought to the larger city. When he was told where she was from, he wondered if he might know her. And sure enough, it was this very person. And extensive, intensive work, care, etc., which she thought she couldn't pay for. When she got the bill, she read these words, paid in full with one glass of milk, signed Dr. Howard Kelly. Those who give freely gain even more. Do you give freely? Do you? Or do you withhold what is due and lose more and more? Jesus told a parable similar to that. The three people, different talents. The one who hoarded his lost even that. It's a principle. It's a principle. When we give freely of our spirit, of our kindness, of our resources, of whatever it is, it has a generative effect. It generates more. Look at the next one, verse 25. Those who are generous prosper. I said to one of you the other day, you're at a stage in life where you could easily coast. I said, you said you're going to start a new enterprise. I said, why? And right away, without even thinking, so I can help more people have a job and help more people help their families, and I can help Trinity more. I'd like for you to do this right for a second, similar to what Kirk and Michelle asked you. But think of somebody who's had a huge impact on your life. Would you do that? Just think of one person who's had a very positive, big, wonderful impact on their life. What is it about them that caused them to affect you that way? I have a feeling it's a generosity of spirit. That is to say, not just particularly money, but they were generous with their time with you. They were generous with their just sitting with you, their maybe affirmation, maybe encouragement, maybe listening. That's the kind of thing. Here's how the rest of that goes. Those who are generous prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I noticed how refreshed the group from Nicaragua looked this morning, even though they got back about 11 or so last night, because in refreshing others, they were incredibly blessed. It's a principle of life. Those who are generous prosper. Verse 26, people curse those who hoard, but bless those who give generously. Bless those who give generously. Has God blessed you with a lot? Are you hoarding it? Or are you sharing it? Be honest with yourself. People curse those who hoard, but bless those who give generously. Verse 28, a life devoted to riches is like a dead tree stump. But a God-shaped life is like a flourishing tree. We at Trinity are blessed in many ways, but one of the great blessings is we get to walk by God's object lesson every Sunday morning when we come to this church. We either walk under that tree or we see that large tree, and we're reminded that a generous spirit, we can't do this in and of our own strength, but through God's grace and the power and presence of Jesus, we can become more and more like Jesus has intended us to be in generosity of spirit and like that mighty oak tree, or we can choose to live small. Which is it for you and for me? Would you pray with me? God, these words are words of life, words of life, and we thank you. Make us a church that is like a flourishing tree, generous towards all. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.